A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Season 2, Episode 6, Donovan Bailey running things, DB alongside JP. I'm Jason Portwando. This and every broadcast powered by Acast. And Donovan, we march into a brand new month, and yeah, we do so with heavy hearts. I mean, we're going to be, you know, quite deep off the top in terms of what is going on, because regardless of what your avenue is that you walk through in terms of life, the biggest thing, the war in Ukraine. And we're not going to take so much of a political view. Let's just look at it more from humanity and that side.
Well, the name on the podcast is Running Things, and clearly I'm not running things, and you're not running things today either. It is with sadness that we have to, even do a show that we can offer opinions on how we feel about what's happening. The war is affecting a lot of people. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's layers that none of us even understand. And yesterday I did a post on Instagram, and I was just reminded by one of the guys that work for me that the Olympics in 96, there was a photo of me passing the line, and there was the Ukrainian athlete was in the photo. So we posted that, and I posted it because I wanted to just kind of offer my opinion about what I believe life should be. I recognize it's idealist, and sometimes it's a utopia that I want to exist in. It was a race. Canada won. The Ukrainian team, I think. Well, first they made the finals. Well, that's amazing.
Right.
I just said this is exactly the only place that competition should be, or where war should be. I mean, you have the ability to get out on your field of play, and you go to battle, you go prepare, you go to battle. And when you're done, you hug and you go and you eat, and you get to like understand the humane side of other people, Jason. So, I mean, I think that, yeah, it's tough to even get into a discussion about this, because, I mean, I know that neither you nor I, well, at least me, maybe you're a political guy. I will not tell anyone that I'm educated enough to give the history of what it is that is happening in Eastern Europe right now. What I do know is that there's a lot of athletes. There's a lot of sports. There's a lot of great things. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people dying. And for that, I see no reason that in 2022, you can't have two human beings stand at a table or sit at a table and have a discussion about their differences.
We like to start the show on a fun note when we can, right?
Always, always.
We like to exchange pleasantries and, have some fun off the top. But this case, we're not. So we're jumping right into it. And you're right. This is about humans. This is about humanity. And when you see some of the pictures, and I realize many out there are saying, well, what pictures are real? What pictures can we, rely on in terms of what is really happening over there? I get it. To me, I don't know enough about the politics, like
right,
you said.
Right.
It's just to see, the young kids, the humans fleeing. just trying to, you know, get to Poland, get to wherever, just to get away from what is going on in Kyiv. And very disheartening. I mean, how do you explain to the kids?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it is incredible that, you know, again, watching the news, because, you know, my news source is your news source. I mean, I tend to, you know, I watch several news outlets, but mm-hmm. I also try to read a lot. So, so at least when I have an opinion on something, at least, you know, it appears that I know what I'm talking about. But in fact, I mean, I want to be well studied when I'm speaking, you know. When I look at the layers of what's happening right now, you know, someone sent me some information, and again, I did some research about this. Do you realize that med school in the Ukraine,
right,
and in Russia is way cheaper than it is anywhere else in the world? Do you realize that? And one of the things that's been happening, I mean, and obviously we're seeing the layers of how people are escaping, because now you're talking about people in the Ukraine. One, you have women and kids that have to get out first, and I think you have seniors after that, because I believe that if you are between 18 and 60 or something like that, you have to stay and fight. But no one's really talking about all the students. So in the Ukraine and also in Russia, actually, med school is one of the the cheapest in the world. And but these are recognized around the world because they're so good, and no one's talking about that. Someone sent me a note. Someone in the Jamaican government actually sent me a note. Let me know that there was, I think it was 24 students, med school students, future doctors, that were stranded in Ukraine because of this war. Understand now that women and kids, who are Ukrainian women and kids, are out first. Then obviously the older folks, and so you have like, so the collateral damage, some of the collateral damage that's even happening, that's not even spoken of, is all of those Africans and Caribbean med school students. Remember now, these are doctors, these are future leaders, man, these are future incredible people that are needed in society. I mean, these are some of the highest educated people from their regions. And that's part of the collateral damage. And so when I speak of or have an observation or opinion about what it is that I'm seeing in this war, I have to look at all of them. One, I think that you have to, you know, there's no reason for it. Two, and again, I don't know. So if someone thinks that there's a reason for it, good for them. Give me your opinion. I think that there's no reason for it because there's nothing that you can't discuss peacefully. Two, you're looking at, you know, innocent people getting killed for absolutely no reason. And what you're doing, you are, you know, almost stopping the cycle of incredible human beings, productive members of society from different segments of the world. You're stopping that cycle, you know, from it being a good one for them in the future. And for that, man, I'm a little upset.
You mentioned, you know, Zelensky's Ukrainians. And the president, very defiant in terms of protecting his soil. We're having civilians now, you know, being given military warfare in right. terms of ammunition, guns, whatever, to just protect home. And a lot of them, not even second guessing, they're lining up to defend their country. People are lining up to give blood. They're telling people, you know, don't come. They got a surplus now at this point. It's hard to fathom, like you said, 2022, that this is actually happening. And, you know, the more goes on, obviously, the higher the death toll will reach. You hope that talks will be able to, you know, get us some resolution. But I'm just not sure if we're going to get to that point.
Well, we hope so. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it shows such incredible patriotism when you have an entire country just, I mean, first of all, they're giving their blood to the blood bank, and they're giving their lives for their country. So you can't, there's nobody in this world that can, you know, think or assume that these people are not the greatest patriotic people and would die for their country. Now, when I look at even, you know, some of the incredible, you know, people that has taken up arms. Vladimir Klitschko, who everyone probably knows from heavyweight champion of the world. So Vladimir was the heavyweight champion at the Olympic Games in 1996. So I got to meet him. And anyone that knows me also knows that I'm a huge boxing fan. So the Klitschko brothers are multi. First of all, these are professors, so they're highly educated. These are multi millionaires. Another kid, Vasily Lomachenko, again, great boxer. Now all of these men, they have no reason to go back to the country. They could be living in California. They could be in Hawaii right now. They could be here in Canada. It could be anywhere. But these guys have decided that there's no chance. The value that they see and the value that they see in what the country is worth to them, they are gonna essentially put aside whatever their material wealth is, and is willing to spill their own blood to protect their country. So I'm telling you, Jason, it is crazy that. That there's so many. I mean, again, there's so many things that are happening. There's so many layers, and none of the stuff is even making news, man, which is crazy.
Another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Donovan Bailey alongside Jason Portwando. This and every edition powered by ACAS. Of course, we're down inside the Toronto Mike Studios. What would we be without Toronto Mike? And let's talk now more about the effect that it's having on the rest of the world in terms of, obviously, we'll go to sports next because that's what, you know, we do.
Well, right? It's affecting. Yeah, let's go there.
Right. So we're imposing various sanctions. In terms of the sporting world, we've seen FIFA step up, UEFA step up and say, you know, they're banning Russian teams from all competitions.
The IOC also, yeah.
Right. And they're taking away the Champions League final from St. Petersburg, Russia. We've seen the IIHF, the International Ice Hockey Federation, step up and say, you know, they're taking away all Russian and Belarusian teams from competition. Most recently, I'm hearing word of the World Figure Skating Championships banning Team Russia, which takes away 5 of the 12 medalists from the recently competed games.
Right.
So, you know what? I know that militarily speaking, other countries are trying not to get involved because you don't want to escalate things and make it even worse, but there are a bunch of sanctions, sports-wise, money-wise, whatever-wise, cyber-wise, that they're imposing on Russia.
Well, I'm gonna add to the list that you got F1, you got tennis, you know. So at the end of the day, everything right here is based from sports for me, and I'm looking at all of the struggling athletes who are trying to make it. And this is an opportunity lost because of a war. This is an opportunity that they'll never have back. And I'm just trying to see, you know, I think that all the governing bodies is in a tough dilemma because you are fighting the sport of politics with actual politics. And that is a major problem because I don't know how it is that you can actually formulate a solution with that. I mean, sports is always going to suffer, and I think that it's incredible, you know, what we have going on. I think that we're insulated in North America, where, you know, we do have a basketball season going on and hockey season going on and so forth, and maybe preparing for some outdoor football and et cetera. But I think that in Europe, it seems that especially Russia and the Ukraine, it seems that these kids that are involved in any sport that there's sanctions being placed upon, these countries, that they're handcuffed and they can't do anything.
You spoke of the IOC coming up on the weekend, the start of the Paralympics.
Yeah.
And for all of those athletes that you mentioned have been training and just going through all the rigors to get to the biggest stage there is for them. There are so many athletes around the world of Russian descent.
Right.
That are being looked upon in a different light, which isn't fair.
Right.
Right? Because it's not like they're a part of this. They just happen to be Russian, right? I mean, so in a way, it's even more unfortunate that they're being, you know, looked at in a different light.
Well, it's always here's the thing, and sometimes, well, Jason, you're a journalist, so you understand this. Sometimes I think it's terrible that because you're an athlete, you're expected to be a spokesperson for your prime minister or your president. And I think that that's one of the most absurd things. Or, you know, you're expected to speak on another athlete's behavior or whatever, right? And, yeah, this is another situation where, getting to be an athlete, especially when you're on the global scale in the sport that you do, you are expected or obligated, you know, to always be, you know, pro sport or pro country. And, you know, unfortunately, you don't get to make decisions. I saw the Ovechkin interview. And, I'm just saying that these guys, you know, like, I mean, I'll add to what you're saying, Jason. I mean, an athlete on this stage when he or she has absolutely zero control to do or anything is always placed in a very tough situation. And for that, I feel sorry for those kids or those men and women that are getting asked questions about politics when in fact all they want to do is get out and play sports.
All we want to do is talk sports, right? I mean, it's a great escape from reality, but at times you can't escape. You've got to, you know, be realistic. So that's what we're doing right here on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, is we're thinking, you know, kind of outside the sports bubble because we have to. This is life right now.
Well, it's, you know, I think when I created the show in the first place, I hate being, boxed in or pigeonholed in a box talking about track and field, because I think that there's always a value in having a stage to talk about everything. But I think that talking about war is a little crazy. I think that heading someplace and talking about something where, you know, I'm used to settling something on the track, or I watch my favorite basketball team or football team, baseball team, whatever, settle something on their pitch or on their field of play is something different. So yes, I belong in that little world, and certainly, lifestyle and whatever news of the day or news of the world, I definitely have an opinion on those things. But yes, Jason, as you said, I prefer to always have a layer of sports, because ultimately for me, I'm someone who believes this and lives this. I think that every single child, even those children in Russia and Ukraine, I believe that every single child should play sports, because that is exactly what real life should look like.
All right. That's a nice little transition. Let's talk a little bit of basketball now. Lighten things up, because things are getting really interesting inside the NBA. And we go back just under a month ago. We had the NBA trade deadline.
Right.
The biggest move, obviously, was the Nets, the 76ers. We saw Simmons go one way, Harden go another, other pieces obviously involved as well. But, man, oh, man, you very rarely see in sports teams make a move inside their own conference. This wasn't just inside the East Conference. This is inside the division.
Right.
You never see that. I mean, I don't know who's going to end up being better when it matters most, but wow, it was quite the story.
Well, you know what? I don't think it matters to me who's going to be better. One of the things I enjoy, for those of you who know, I played basketball. I still play. I actually played last night.
Did you score any points?
Absolutely. I did. It might have been two, but yeah, I definitely scored.
You got a double-double, two rebounds, 2 points?
You know, it might have been one, actually.
I probably, hey, you're out there. That's all that matters,
I got a
double-double-double-double.
Yeah, I got all two right of everything. But I love the fact that, obviously trade deadline came. The All-Star weekend passed. We discussed that in the last show about changes that, you know, people are suggesting that that will make this thing happen. But yeah, you know, to your point, I love good basketball, and I'm so looking forward. I think that Doc Rivers made some changes in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons was not part of the team or playing. they thought he'd probably be a better fit in Brooklyn.
Okay, so quickly, interjecting.
Let me finish. But
who's got more pressure then? Is it Doc or is it James?
Listen, I think that Doc is trying to. Well, Doc's the coach, so
exactly.
So his responsibility is to put together the pieces, and then he can sit back and see how it all unfolds.
Okay,
you know, James Harden. I mean, I don't know how well he was fitting in Brooklyn. I mean, obviously, time will tell with that. Just based upon the two games, I mean, obviously they're going to play tougher teams, and they didn't exactly play the two toughest teams the last couple of games. They played Toronto, and Toronto freaking draped them. So that, you know, that's another thing. So I think that Philadelphia is a better team with James Harden. I think that obviously, you know, when teams are playing them, they're going to have difficulty, you know, matching up with two very, very incredible guys. One guy who can handle the rock, and one guy who is probably the best big man in the NBA. You know, that's number one. But that being said, I'm definitely looking forward to the Nets playing. One, Steve Nash, my boy, and he's an incredible. Well, he was a great basketball player, best in, out of Canada, and. And also, he seems to be, you know, getting in and getting comfortable with being a coach. And I want to see that when everyone is healthy, what the team look like coming out of Brooklyn, because I think that they are just an athletic team. I want to see Kyrie and bring the ball up. I want to see Ben on the floor, and I want to see what Durant's going to do. Just those three, right? I'm saying to you that there are certainly other fantastic, incredible people, but I just want to see what that looks like, and I think that it's going to be nice. But all in all, Jason, I love the fact that the product that these organizations are putting on the floor is very good. I mean, hey, listen, don't sleep on the Raptors either, man, because at the end of the day, you know, Barnes is a rookie, big, mm-hmm. long guy who's excited to play basketball, excited to be in Toronto, and I'm loving that. I mean, my favorite player in the NBA right now is a guy named Ja Morant. So he's a human highlight film. This is kind of like how I was when I was in my mind when I was like 12. but yeah, I'm liking the product that's coming in, and I remember you and I had the conversation about you know, the last like 4, 5, 6 games of the NFL season where the product that they put on the field was so incredible. And any fans that they had lost over the years, they've gotten it back. I think that what's happening in the NBA right now is that. I mean, it's too bad that we have to share. It's too bad that some good basketball or good sporting happening, we have to that it has to be shared with politics.
We just had a little discussion of hoops. You did not mention the LA Lakers. You did not mention LeBron James.
No.
They will be hard-pressed to get in the play-in game. I mean, so they look to be non-factors. They don't look. They are non-factors, which is
maybe.
You got Westbrook. You got Davis, and always hurt. No, they're not going anywhere. Who's your money on? Right now, the Suns are the favorites to win the Lombardi Trophy. Lombardi Trophy.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be amazing
yes,
to see.
Yes,
them pick
absolutely.
Up,
I want to see that.
A football trophy. Yeah, that'd be great.
That is how we
the
run
O'Brien,
things. Yes.
The O'Brien. Larry O.B. But hey, when you got Booker throwing them bombs down, you know, down the court there, it's possible.
Could
but
be a quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. The Suns are plus 410. That is the cheapest to win.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors are next to win plus 440. Then you got the Nets, the Bucks, 76ers. If you could place a fictitious bet. I gave you $10,000 right now.
Right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Who would you put that money on?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, respectfully.
Who would get your Lombardi Award?
Well, let's figure who that would be. But here's the thing. Respectfully,
right?
The decision that I'd be making, one would be logical. So I'd have to go down and dot all my I's and cross my T's.
Okay.
Or,
fair enough.
Or it would be emotional, where I could look at who I would want to see. Remember that, you know, in the last Super Bowl, everybody wanted to see Tom Brady going against Mahomes again. Neither one of them were made it. But I'm saying to you that emotionally, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that I don't know if I want to see the Lakers in the finals again. So I think that they're out. I think that two young teams would be incredible. I believe that. I want to see what the Nets look like. You know, I'm always going to say I want the Raptors to go back there, mm-hmm. but I'd like to see what the Nets look like when all the pieces are on the floor and is operating in a well-oiled machine way. I'd like to see that.
That's going to be scary.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, right? Scary. So I could say I'd like to see the Suns play the Nets. I mean that would be exciting to watch. Right. But I mean, am I going to put money on that? No. Right. So, I mean, when I look at basketball, I'm thinking I want to see the greatest team playing the greatest team. And I don't, it's still too early for me today. Let's get back to this again in give me 2 weeks.
Give you 2 weeks.
2-3 weeks. Yeah. Something like All that. Right. Let me think about that and then do enough to actually have a position where I would say, Jason, I'm going to take your 10 grand and I'm going to place it on these two teams and this particular team winning your Lombardi trophy.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yep. We can make it the Lombardi O'Brien Award.
The Lombardi O'Brien.
A little piece of football, a little piece of basketball.
No, you got to have the Port Wando Lombardi O'Brien Award. Yes,
I will say this. The Nets are very scary on paper. If they can get all of that to work on the basketball court, you know, you throw in a Seth Curry, and he's just no ordinary player. He can shoot. Obviously, only one Steph. I get it. So, unfortunately, he'll always live in his brother's.
Well, if Seth is just giving you, man, if he's giving you 12, 16 a game, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't have to score 50.
I will say Doc Rivers is under a lot of pressure because it's so much easier these days to fire a coach than it is to move a player.
Right.
And James Harden's not going anywhere with that big contract of his.
Well, the issue is that there's always, I mean, speaking of collateral damage, there's always going to be someone to blame. And the easiest person to point out is the coach. I mean, it's probably the first person to be crowned after winning. But he's also the first person if there's a losing season. And everyone knows that Doc is a very good coach and he's also a player's coach. So I don't think that he's in any jeopardy in Philadelphia. I think that the move that he made, it will long-term be incredible. And, you know, I'm excited to just kind of see the products.
I just want those two to somehow meet in the playoffs.
Sorry. Well, they're going to meet.
The Nets and Sixers.
The Nets, well, they're probably going to meet. But so the Sixers, what? They're in second place now?
Sixers, yeah. I think Miami's been on top.
Right. Miami, Chicago, yeah. I mean, the Nets are hovering down there in the sixth, seventh,
eighth spot. Yeah, they're in the eighth spot as we speak. Miami, right. Chicago, Philly, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Boston, Toronto.
Well, Brooklyn. You might get your wish, Mr. Portwater.
Yeah, that would be nice. That'd be nice. And by the way, I'm a Utah Jazz fan, so that's all I care about.
Well, hey, why not? Mr. Mitchell's the man, man.
And you know
He's
what?
He's got a good name.
He played Mitchell? Yeah, that is a good name. You're right. If he played anywhere else in the league, that guy would be a superstar. He's my second favorite Donovan.
Is your second favorite Donovan?
He is my second favorite.
Thank you, my
Donovan.
Brother. I guess I'm the first. I'm hoping, yes.
You got that locked. You're good. You're good. Of course, you're running things. You're running things here on the program. Let's talk a little track and field because we're not that far away from the World Indoors this year in Serbia. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by then, things have been rectified. That's only a few weeks away. So hopefully we can, you know, talk about this not having any issues getting off the ground.
Yeah, you know what? Like, funny that this is, I recognize that the indoor championships is the consolation prize. It usually is the consolation prize because, you know, I have the exact same amount of medals from the World Indoor Championships as Usain Bolt. That's zero. You know, we haven't, the real top sprinters, the top athletes usually, you know, are the ones that excel outdoors. But that being said, it is an incredible track meet. It's a global track meet, recognized track meet, that young athletes can cut their teeth in getting to the next level. And yeah, I mean, that this is something that we have to, you know, recognize. This is, I mean, in the middle of war, you've got athletes preparing for this. And this is also in Eastern Europe. So I'm hoping, as you said, Jason, that there's nothing... you know, I'm hoping. Well, listen, I'm hoping that, you know, at the end of our podcast today, we hear that there's some diplomacy and you know, people are not dying anymore. I mean, I think that's what I, you know, hope for and pray for and hope that, you know, whomever, if I'm any voice at all, I hope someone's listening and could be influenced by just some of my logic. But the World Indoor Championships, I mean, I don't know what Canadians are going to go. I don't know if Kristen Coleman is going to participate, but I'm sure I'm sure hoping to see him. Mm-hmm. It would be incredible to see him and Marcel Jacobs. Mm-hmm. It would be great to see Su Bintang out of China. Remember that the Chinese man who ran the fastest 60 meter 6.29 in Tokyo. So, I mean, I want to see, I don't know or don't think that Elaine or Shelly-Ann is gonna be competing at the World Indoor Championships. But what we will see is some new incredible faces, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that the track meets, the World Indoor Championships will be, you know, will be good. We have an opportunity to watch it and come back here and talk about it and laugh about it and celebrate some world records. And hopefully we have some new names that we look forward to seeing in the outdoor, on the outdoor circuit and see if any of these young cats can make a difference. But it'll be incredible to see Coleman coming back, Marcel Jacobs go, Su Bintang, and then all the other young, the other guys trying to cut their teeth. Mm. Be incredible.
Salivating over here.
Absolutely, man.
Salivating. Absolutely. Over here. So it's a brand new month. February now in the rearview mirror. We started out heavy. We're going to end light because weather's getting there. Days are longer in terms of light.
Right.
We officially have lifted the vaccine mandate at sporting events, restaurants, gyms, everything like that. No capacity limits. So we're getting there. I kind of feel like we're turning the corner, getting back to some sort of normalcy. And then in mid-March, we're hoping, fingers crossed, to get rid of masks.
Well, I love the masks. I got to tell you that.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why I love the masks.
Keep you warm when it's cold?
No. I think that, I'm not, first of all, I'm not going to ever complain about this. I'm very blessed and very humbled to have shared incredible sporting moments with my fans around the world, especially Canadians. And one of the things I've been able to do, Mr. Portwando, is just go do whatever the hell I want to do. I have a hat on. I have a mask on. So I'm not excited about the mask. I'm not excited about not wearing the mask. Not exactly because of the health issues. I think that everyone out there, please continue to follow the rules and whatever the mandates might or might not be. What I'm saying to you, this is a comical sense. I like the idea of wearing the mask. I have a black mask. Maybe I look like Wakanda, what's his name? Black Panther. If I don't speak sometimes, I'm being recognized with this mask, with through my voice, which is sometimes just, I'm like, man, I'm just trying to go in the store to pick up something quick. And I feel comfortable doing that because I have a mask on. So, yeah, I like the fact that
you're not wearing any foundation, lipstick.
I'm not, I'm still good looking. That is amazing.
You don't need the mask. I could see like the ladies like, oh, this is great. I only got to do my eyes, my lashes. I don't have to worry about the other half because you can't see it anyways, right?
Well, I don't know any lady whether she's wearing a mask or not. That's not putting on things to make her feel, the way that she's supposed to feel or she wants to feel. So I understand that. I was speaking from my perspective.
Okay.
I think I like the idea of floating into a restaurant. Well, I hadn't gone to a restaurant, but a store or whatever, and I can get on in there and no one knows it's me and it's good. So that became very normal for me. And you know, I'm maybe if you see the one, you know, 6 foot, 220 pound guy in line with a mask on out there, it might be me.
All right, might go and get an autograph if you can. Get a picture.
Yeah,
but I'm most excited about the capacity limits being dropped because take you back to what, 97.
Right.
How would you feel running in front of I don't know 5,000 people at Skydome?
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't know, right?
Right.
I mean,
because you as an athlete feed off the energy as well, right?
I think the electricity from an audience is the greatest six man you can have. It's the greatest energy that you can possibly have. If you speak to any sports person, if you speak to any artists, like musicians, if you speak like anybody, if Jason, you and I were sitting in the media booth at a stadium right now, it like the electricity is so different. So yeah, I am. Like you said, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, the buzz of in a restaurant, like if you go to a restaurant and it's buzzing, the meal probably tastes better. I mean, I'm not, you know,
I hear you. Yeah.
Right.
You
know, I mean, and, you know, for, you know, obviously schools and you know, anywhere there's energy. I mean, I especially positive energy. So I think that, with that being said, I think that, hopefully the Raptors will get back to full capacity. You know, we can have Ryan, the Raptor, getting out there and bouncing and cheering the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we can cheer this team on to, you know, to get into the playoffs, make the playoffs and have a good run at it because, Masai and Nurse have certainly put together a decent product, young and they certainly should make every competition, the track meet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, like you said, I'm looking forward to really good and really good safe environment for every single person to get back to whatever normal looks like and so we can all have a great functional and whatever normal life might look like. I'm looking forward to all that.
I'm looking forward to our next edition of the program. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Attaboy.
And hopefully we can start on a lighter note. And obviously we wrap this edition thinking of all of those civilians in and around Ukraine.
Right.
Our thoughts, prayers with them. And next week you and I, we can officially greet each other off the top with a, yo, what's up? You good?
Yeah, man. Wagwan.
We can do that next week.
Yeah, Wagwan. Yes. That's what we'll do next week.
All right. Until then, we shout out Toronto Mike'd for this production, Acast for their dedication to this program, and you for just being you.
Thank you, Bridget, and you for being you.
Without the mask.
Amen.
You keep yours on. For Donovan Bailey, Jason Portwando, this has been another edition of Running Things, Donovan Bailey style, if you will. Until next week, thanks for the company.
Peace out.